Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Come on, you guys, you ready for it? Yes or no? I love this part of this series and the whole journey together through worship. God meets us every time we gather together. When we sing, His presence comes in. When we give, His presence empowers us to walk in His blessings. When we meet Him in His word, God moves into the middle of our mind and brings real transformation. And today, God's going to give you a key. This is going to be a life-changing experience. Just get ready for it. Buckle up, it's going to be fun. Hey, if you didn't get the notes on the way in, raise your hands up. The ushers are going to move to the auditorium to make sure you have everything you need to capture what God talks to you about. If you'd like to do that for your notebook, these are the paper notes. You can always open our app. LifeLink Church has an app. Search for it in the store for the platform that you use. Make sure you download that and follow along with us. Or YouVersion is where we also put those as well. If you're joining us by the stream today, I hope you're ready that God's going to reach right through the technology and get a hold of your mind and heart too. It's going to be exciting. So summer is definitely here. How many of you know the summer moved in a few weeks back and brought the heat with it? Now it's in July and it's a little bit muggy. Can y'all tell? So I was trying to think, what would refresh us? We've been using fruit during the series, and we've featured strawberries and apples, and we've featured grapefruit and some other stuff. But I was thinking, you know, when it's really hot and you're really just kind of worked up a good heat wave on the inside, you know what you really need? What you really need more than anything is a big slice of watermelon. So last week, Pastor Tom bit right into an apple, and about two-thirds of the way through this sermon, I'm going to face plant right into that watermelon right there, and it's never going to happen. I'm not going to do it. I just wanted to see if you were actually listening today. But come on, right now, some of your mouths are salivating, your jaws hurt right now, and you really want to bite into that watermelon. And the reason you do is because it's delicious. God created fruit to be desirable, and you need more of it. Less cheeseburgers, more fruit, thus saith Pastor Dave. The sermon's not really about natural fruit. It's about the results of what God does in us as we let Him in. So please, in your mind, picture this. When we align our lives with the way He works and who He is, what He does shows up inside and changes who we are. I can't say that again. I hope you got that. There's a single word that actually captures the overall function of everything I just said, and it basically is the word obey. But nobody likes the word obey, so I can't use it. So pretend you didn't hear it for the moment and think alignment. I want to align with who God is and how He works, so what He does makes a difference for me. Make sense? So that's really what the whole sermon series is about, the fruit of the Spirit. And you've probably picked up the rhythm of how we're working our way through the series now with tag teams. And so today, I get the privilege of working again with Chris Peterson. You guys are going to love it. But I wanted to start this morning by talking about chewing gum. They've spent millions of dollars to do research to figure out that the flavor in chewing gum lasts about 8 minutes, and that's it. It's about it. It's crazy. The reason is because they want you to put another piece in, and another piece in, and another piece in, so ultimately you'll buy another pack. Because it's all about the commerce, baby. It's all about the commerce. But I really wanted to use the illustration because I think it'd be awesome if they would invent gum that the flavor just lasts and lasts and lasts. But the truth is they won't do it because the flavor is not the gum. The flavor is added to the gum, which is why the more you chew it, the more the flavor goes away. And in a way, it's kind of like what we're talking about with the difference between our behavior, which is kind of like the flavor of gum, and our character, which is kind of the essence of gum. So we taste the flavor while we chew the gum. Is that confusing? All right. What I want to say is God's not trying to just change your behavior. He wants you to know if you'll let Him get to the essence, your character, and work on that, your actual flavor or your behavior changes because your behavior is tied directly to your character. So that's why He says, I want you to let me in so I can bring transformation inside so what you taste like outside will be pleasing. And don't you just want to taste pleasing? I'm just kidding. That's gross. probably shouldn't have used that example. Because you're like, I don't know, kind of tastes salty maybe, I don't know. But anyway, bottom line is, let's take a look at our series verse. We're gonna jump in at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness is the one we're talking about today, gentleness, and self-control. Faithfulness, everyone say faithfulness. Faithfulness, the ability to be able to trust that every time that person is going to be who they say they're going to be, do what they say they're going to do, and they're going to do that on my behalf. They're going to be faithful to me. They're going to be faithful. All of us really want the function of faithfulness in our lives, and all of us have felt the bitter sting of unfaithfulness at some point or the other in our lives as well. All right. So as we're going through this morning, what I want you to know is that God is the one who designed us to want and actually need faithfulness. We need to know that every time we can depend on that same function happening. Picture gravity just for a minute. Gravity is being faithful to you right now. Aren't you glad? Now, the older I get, the more frustrated I am with some of the parts of my body that gravity's pulling on so hard. But I'm still glad it's holding me down. Does that make sense? We just need to know that we can trust that gravity's gonna be there. Why? Because when we step, we don't wanna fly off the earth and go into the space and die of lack of oxygen. We wanna know that we step up or jump up or whatever it is, we're gonna come down again, faithfulness. God's design is that we can count on the function of commitment and the understanding of relationship, and that's the context we're using faithfulness in, because we need to know that we're faithful to one another. The truth is, we all want it, but usually we're unable to produce it or to do it because of something deep inside of us that we're all fighting against. So I'm gonna give you a couple of working pieces and pictures. Then I'm gonna introduce Chris, and he's gonna really make the message sing for you a little bit. But the bottom line is, the reason we all struggle with faithfulness, especially on the outside, is because we're all listening to the voice of something else on the inside. I call it the wanter. There is a wanter on the inside that wants this and wants that and wants this and wants that. And usually what happens, without thinking of it, we pretty much just listen to the voice of the wanter. And we're unfaithful to what we should be doing with our responsibilities because we actually want something different. Okay, you're not buying it. Okay, let's talk about dieting. Hear the groans? Let's don't. Why? Because so you want to go on it, you don't want to diet, but you want the end result of it. So you go on a diet, and you're going to be faithful to that diet. Why? Because I want to lose the pounds. And then you see the cheeseburger, or your tater tots, or your cheesecake, or whatever it is for you. For me, maybe it's cheeseburgers. And keep me away from Arby's while you're at it. Why? Because I want it. Man, I want a chicken slider at Arby's. Because it's got buffalo sauce on it, and hold the ranch, because the ranch cools down the heat. And while you're at it, throw a pizza slider in on there with you. Now, don't go to Arby's no matter what you do today. But my point is, everybody, you got your wonder, and what happens is, we say, we're not gonna do it, I want it, not gonna want it, I'm gonna go do it. I'll have a pizza slider. Why? Because my wanter's definitely in charge at that moment. Can I tell you something? You're going to obey something. Your chooser is always obedient to something. It's either going to obey the wanter or it's going to obey God. And that's really what we're talking about today. So we're going to let God in so that we start obeying him, so that we get the result of faithfulness. Better marriage, better relationships, better health, less stress, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Does that make sense? And I want to make the point before I introduce Chris that God is the only one who can be faithful, because faithfulness in its essence is sacrifice. Sacrifice is the biblical expression of love. How do we know that? Because the Bible, God said in his Bible, this is how you know God's love for you is real. Jesus gave his life for us. Right? So sacrifice is the expression of what love is, and God is the only one who's consistently that way, which is why he's the only hope we have to actually produce real and lasting faithfulness. Listen to the way God's faithfulness is described. It's the Lord's mercies we're not consumed because his love or compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So don't be overly frustrated or worried that you're not faithful by yourself and by your own strength. That's called human. But if you open up your life and align your life through obedience to who God is and what he says, he'll begin to move inside you, and what he'll produce in you is who he is. And part of that's faithfulness. So would you put your hands together? Let's welcome Chris Peterson as he comes today to talk about the first two of three different parts of what faithfulness really does for us. Chris, come on.
Well, thanks, Pastor Dave. I am so honored to be with you here this morning. I think, hey, let's just jump right in. Let's dive right into the scripture we're talking about this morning. So we're talking about faithfulness, and I think it's really easy. Naturally, I think of relationships for faithfulness. In fact, if you're taking notes, let's write this down this morning. Faithfulness in relationships. And when I think about relationships and faithfulness, naturally, I feel like marriage kind of goes hand in hand. And so that's what we're gonna start off talking about first, is marriage. And if you're taking notes, write that down, marriage. I know that's a lot of note-taking in just a few seconds. But husbands, you know, you stood there in your fancy suit, and, you know, the minister was like, hey, let's say these words, and you were thinking in your head, I'll say whatever you want. Let's get this thing under control. We got to get to a honeymoon, right? We got things to do. We got places to go. I still got to take photos, and I got to talk to Aunt May that I've never seen or met before, but she's at my wedding, and she probably wrote me a check, so I got to say hey to her, right? But she's like, hey, let's get this. I'll promise to hold and cherish and death and parts and whatever all that is. I'll say it. Let's get on with it, right? At the end of the day, you say, you know, you get through all that stuff, but the words that you said are still the words you said, and they still count, right? Wives, similarly, you're in that gorgeous dress that's still hanging in your closet today because you're saving it for that special time that you might wear it again someday, even though it hasn't moved in years. I wouldn't know that personally, but anyway, so you're standing there, and you're marrying the man of your dreams. He's perfect, and you get him home, and realize that he doesn't take out the trash quite as often as you hope he would. And the fragrances that happen, and the volume of the fragrances, and the copious amounts of fragrances, and you're thinking to yourself, how is that even possible? And you have the man of your dreams at home, but you still said those words too, right? So marriage relationships are not about a set of rules to keep, because that's how business relationships work. But being faithful to your spouse isn't just so you don't get divorced. Like, it's be faithful to your spouse. We don't want you to get divorced, but that's not the reason why we actually do it. Faithfulness in marriage is based on relationships. The longer you're together with your spouse, the more that you trust each other. The more that you trust each other, the deeper your relationship gets. The deeper it gets, the more vulnerable you are with each other. And this cycle happens. The more vulnerable, the more trust you have. The more trust, the deeper it gets. And this cycle keeps on happening because relationships breed trust. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, obey my commandments. We don't love because we obey, but we obey because we love. We're not faithful because we said some words, but we're faithful because we love. Amen? Okay, so we're talking about marriage, and next we're going to talk about our parent-child relationships. If you're taking notes, write that down, parent-child relationships. And the number one area that we struggle in this is with resentment. And the primary cause of this resentment is broken promises. I'll take you fishing next week. Or, hey, I'm going to take you camping soon. Or, hey, I'll be at your game on Thursday. And then life happens. Things come up, and you don't make it. And this pattern happens where you consistently don't make it. And when a pattern emerges, that's when the resentment comes in, because you're no longer reliable to show up or keep your promise. You know, if you said, hey, we're going to go fishing, but don't end up going fishing, that's a broken promise, right? It may be a good idea, because does anybody really like fishing? I know I see Rich, he likes fishing. But for the most of us, right? And you're thinking, oh, man, that's a great idea. We canceled the fishing trip. But you might be thinking, hey, Chris, it's the thought that counts. Nope. It isn't. It's all about the follow-through. Because resentment robs the opportunity for us to trust. And our children won't learn to be covenant and promise keepers if we model something different. You guys ever heard the phrase, more is caught than taught? Heard that before? Give you an example. I love the outdoors. Love the outdoors. Give me a pine tree and some cooler weather and my blood pressure goes down and I can just breathe. It feels good. So naturally, I watch a lot of outdoor shows. And there's an Alaskan show that I watch, and they wrangle their cattle, and they say a bunch of words, but they always end it with the word hup, and it just works. So they're like, hey, cattle, go on over there, hup, and they go right into their pen. So I decided if it's good enough for a cow, it's probably good enough for my 4-pound Maltese dog, Teddy, who's basically a cat. And I thought, I'm going to put him on the system. So when we get ready to leave for the day, We tell him to go to his room, and it's just a bathroom. It's not, we don't have, he doesn't have his own room, but it's just so that he doesn't terrorize our house and bark those awesome high-pitched barks that we all love. And so I said, Teddy, go to your room, ha! And he'll go to his room. And so the day we were leaving, and my 2-year-old daughter, hears me say that, and then goes, their eyebrows on, goes, Teddy, go to your room, ha! Like, I look at Leslie, he's like, did you teach her that? I didn't teach her that. And she just picked up on it, just because obviously we say it enough because he probably doesn't listen the first time we tell him to go to his room. But our commitment, our faithfulness needs to match what we're teaching or it won't be absorbed. You can say you want it to be at that game, but until you're actually there, it won't matter. But here's an idea. If you can't make it, don't just blow off your kids. Let's honor them. We're supposed to honor everybody. Let's honor our children too. Let's call them up. Hey, I'd love to be at your game, but my boss is keeping me late and I can't make it. But hey, when's your next game? I want to take time off work. I want to be there. I want to make sure I'm there for your game. Or hey, let's go grab coffee. Unless it's a kid, then maybe like a juice box or whatever that works. But make it, just make plans and figure out how can I do this. And it's a good step to getting there, right? But this doesn't always mean fun things, right? We talked about, except for fishing, but we talked about fun things. I'm just kidding. Can you tell I don't like fishing? Anyway, so the other day, we were driving in our car, and I said, Harper, would you like a drink? And she looked at me and goes, no. I said, okay, well, Harper, we don't say no. We say no thank you, because we respect and honor, and we're polite, and I really want you to be those things. And I said, okay, no. Okay, Harper, we don't say no, we say no thank you, and if you say no again, I'm going to spank you. Do you understand? No. It's like, okay, it's coming. So we got to our destination, and she was asleep. And I picked her up, and she's so sweet. She's, laying on my shoulder and kissing me and hugging me. I love you, Dad. And I'm thinking, at every step, I'm going to have to spank you because I said that I would. And I have to be consistent and faithful in my discipline, too. And so she had the discipline, and everything's okay with her. And I know many of you may have a different form of discipline, and that's okay. But what we're talking about is being consistent with what we're doing. And here's what we know. Proverbs 22:6 says, point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. And I want that for Harper. That's my daughter's name, in case you're wondering who Harper was. Okay, so we talked about marriage, we talked about parent-child relationships. Now let's talk about friendship. If you're taking notes, write that down. Friendships. Are you reliable? Do you keep your word with your friends? Does everybody have that friend that you're like, hey, let's make plans with them, but we just know they're not actually going to show up, or there's a 70% chance they're going to cancel, and so we've even stopped inviting them because we just know they're not going to show up, right? Does anybody have those friends? If your hand's not up, you may be that friend, and you may want to listen a little closer, right? The Bible says in Matthew 5:37, it says, let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no, and anything more is from the evil one. And I don't want that. And for Harper, her no is going to be no thank you. But so let's make our yes be yes, our no be no. And if somebody tells you maybe, it's probably no. So we talked about in our relationships, marriage, parent-child relationships, and our friendships. And now if you're taking notes, we're going to talk about faithfulness in business. Faithfulness in business. Do you ever have a client call you and say, hey, I didn't get that quote that you sent. And you're like, oh, what? No way. I sent it last Tuesday. You didn't get it? Did you check your spam filter? Email's finicky. My network connection may have been a little off. And meanwhile, you're thinking, I didn't actually send it. And I'm just trying to save face right now. So we rationalize ourselves and think, well, everybody does it. It's the business world. We can't let the client know that we dropped the ball. They can't know that we didn't follow through. So what I'm going to challenge you this morning, what if we adopted the practice of having faithfulness in our business? having integrity with what we do, in our price, in our word, the quality of what we offer, whether you run your business or you're an employee and you work for a business, but having the follow through in it. Here's the promise that we have if we do. Proverbs 2:7 says, "He has success in store for the upright and is the shield to those who walk honestly," or some translations say integrity. And I want that. I want the blessings and I want the protection. And so I'm going to choose to have integrity. Choose to have faithfulness. What if you said, "God, I want to have a godly business. I want you to speak to me. If I'm not going that way, show me." And then you're like, "Hey, you didn't get that email?" And you feel the gut punch by the Holy Spirit, that inside where you're like, "I know I didn't do this right." And you're like, "Actually, I didn't have time to send that. I'm going to do this a little differently." And you start to have a godly business practice. You'd be shocked at what you do and don't realize that you do until the Holy Spirit shows you. So let's have faithfulness in our business as well. Amen? Okay, so we talked about faithfulness in our relationships and in business. And now will you help me welcome back Pastor Dave to help us wrap up this message on faithfulness.
Awesome. All right, so we talked about the dynamics of faithfulness in relationships and faithfulness in business. The truth of it is, with that working context, it really does come down to the fact that we want to receive faithfulness from other people. How many of you would agree with that? And really, we want to be a person who's known to be faithful as well. So how do we do that? Well, we talked a little bit in the beginning about the fact that we have a war on the inside with a wanter, and most of the time our wanter is directly inspiring us or inciting us in a really way to do something that would cause it to be unfaithful, to not follow through, to disregard responsibilities, those kinds of things. But how do we really zone in on the issue of being faithful and follow through when that's what we really want? And so what I want to do is spend a few minutes talking about the last dynamic or the last facet of this, and that's our relationship with God. Our relationship with God, because the truth of it is, that's really the key to becoming more and more faithful. The more time we spend with Him, the more time we spend aligned with Him, the more time we spend in a rich relationship with Him, the more we begin to function like who He is because of the transformation that happens on the inside of who we are. How many of you remember this function? It's really torture, to be honest with you. And it's especially licensed for people who want advancement or if you're in school. It's called, the torture device is called a test. Do you guys remember that? Like, I hated that. In fact, I entertained the idea of becoming a high school teacher just so I could torture students, because that's what I felt when I was going through high school. I had an unrealistic understanding of what a test was. A test is not a torture device. It's really not a punishment. A test actually is a gift to me that tells me how I am doing with my ability to understand and make constructive use of a piece of knowledge or an understanding that will help me get better. I always thought test was the other way. I thought it was all about the teacher having fun. What I realize now is the test was designed to show me where I'm at so I could know what corrections to make. So what I want to do is talk about three parts of life, three ways that we can actually make use of to see how we're doing with our understanding of who God is, how He works, and what He wants us to do. And these three areas are kind of touchy, so I'm going to give you the disclaimer right now. I'm not specifically picking on you. This is not punitive in any way. But I want to talk about three aspects of life that you could actually measure how you're doing with our obedience and our alignment with who God is, how He works, and what He wants us to do. The first one is the understanding of how we handle our time. Our time. The reason I want to talk about time is because all of us have a functional understanding of time. And most of the time, we think of it as our time. This, I get to do what I want to do because time is mine. So I'll spend it like I want. I'll do whatever I want to with my time. All right, let me just make the case for this right now, and then we'll see the application of it as we move through these three different things. Whatever I think is mine, I'm more tempted to use to fulfill my desires. Make sense? If I think it's mine, then whatever that is a resource for me to get what I want. So I want to chill. I just want to veg. I want to hang out. I just want to sit there and binge watch Hulu or whatever it is. I do what I want. It's my time. See if you see the correlation. If I think it's mine, I'll be more tempted to use it for what I desire. Say it one more time just to make sure it's clear. Whatever it is, if I think I own it, if I think it's truly mine, then I can use it to help me get what I want. What if instead we acknowledge the fact that it isn't mine? Because God's word is very clear. Everything he created is actually his. So to be clear, we own exactly nothing. Except America has been foisted upon it a powerful delusion that we can own stuff. And technically from a legal position, the laws of our land, we do have ownership rights and those kinds of things. But I'm talking about desire-related stuff. If you think you own it, you think it's yours to do with whatever you want so you can get what you want. So what if instead we treated everything as it actually is? God's time. What does that mean, Pastor Dave? That's kind of theoretical. All right, think of it this way. God created you with a unique design, a unique set of gifts, a unique set of talents, a unique set of passions, things you're interested in, things that flip your switch, things that make you you. And he did that directly tied to something he created you to accomplish. So if he made you a woman, there's a good chance he has created you to be a wife, perhaps a mom. If he created you with a skill set to understand intricate concepts related to law, and you're a great debater, he's probably created you to be a good lawyer. If he's created you with a keen understanding and a just curiosity about biology and the way things work, maybe he's created you to be a doctor. So do you see what I'm saying? The unique things that make you you, he's the one that put there, and it's probably tied to a function he created you to accomplish that will infinitely fulfill you better than anything else will ever. And he's given you every resource you need to fulfill it. And one of the resources he gave you to fulfill that dream is time. Which means you have just enough time to become what God created you to become and experience the spectacular life he created you to experience. But like everything else, if you blow your money, you end up wanting something you can't afford to buy because you blew your money, right? Time is a resource just like money. So what if instead we say, God, show me that vision again. This is one of the reasons why step three, which people are over in Growth Track right now, actually discovering who they're shaped to be. And if you've not been through step three, I want to advocate and put this in your mind for next month, third Sunday, or just start at the top of the class, start at the top of the Growth Track. Step one on first Sunday, step two on second Sunday. Step three is all about who God created you to be. If you've not been through that class, definitely next month get into it. But the bottom line is you have just enough time to fulfill your shape. But if you think it's yours to do with what you want, you'll use your time however you want to get what you want. And it could be you're wasting time. Speaking of wasting time, let me give you two quick things that are actually great, huge time wasters. Write this down. Worry and regret. Worry and regret. Worry will help you absolutely in no way. And regret doesn't help you at all. Learn what you need from mistakes we all make. Learn. Put what you learn to practice and grow forward because God's big enough to redeem everything, all right? So time, the next one is talents. We just talked about that a minute ago. Talents. God deposited inside of you, invested in you talents. You ever make an investment? Why do we make investments? Because we want a return on investment, ROI. We want a return. We invest that resource, we invest that time, we invest that money, we invest the effort. We want a return from that. God's no different. He invested inside of you gifts and talents. Why? so that you could actually put them to use for His glory and the blessing of others. Everybody look at me real quick. If you spend all of your talents simply using them to leverage you towards what you want, then you're actually wasting your talents on you. But if instead you'll say, God, who did you create me to be? What talents did you give me? How do I put them to use in your kingdom and for my purpose so that I can bless others for your glory? Then God says, now that I can take and lift you up. See it? So your time, think about it. How much time do you actually give God? Give him the first part of every day, the first day of every week, and make sure you can see, if you track your time, God time, God time, God time, God time. Talents, these are the talents I have. What are the talents I have is communicating, which is why I'm up here doing this, because this is a talent God gave me. What, how are you using your talents? Look at it and measure it. The last one is easy, money. That's one we actually understand really easily. Our treasure, our time, our talent, and our treasure. I'll say it this way, and I wanted to end with money because it's the hardest one for people to grasp, because this one stings us the deepest, because there is a huge kind of battle going on in our mind with our money. All three of these function exactly the same. The one that stings us the most is money. So I wanted to end on this one. God is very clear. Whatever comes into our hands, those resources he calls increase. In the era of time we live in, we generally go to work or we put investments or whatever it is. There's a medium of exchange called money, whether it's digital, Bitcoin, currency, checks, whatever it is. There, it comes into our ability to influence, and God calls all of that he calls that increase. And he says, if it comes into your hand by increase, a portion of that is already mine. It's holy for me. It's called the tithe. Here's what I want you to do. First, acknowledge it's mine. It's not yours. Acknowledge that it's mine. Return it where you worship. That's the storehouse. All right, that's why we talk about every week, we remind ourselves we worship God in our singing, worship through our giving, and worship God in his word. Why do we want to do that? Because he said it's already his. And there is a blessing that goes by obeying him with our resources. So we return that. And then we say, that's not even giving, that's just returning. And then we say, now God, what do you want me to give from what's left in my hand? Because none of it's mine anyway. I steward it, I manage it on your behalf. And he'll say, then put that $25 in here too, because I'm trying to get some other stuff done in Haiti. Then here's my tithe, and here's the other 25 or 250 or 2,500. Whatever God talks to you about, none of my business, all about you. Then we return and we give. Why is that? Can I just say this? The Bible, God tells us in his Bible that where your treasure is, that's exactly where your heart is. So think about what God is saying. I'm going to increase your resources, your treasure. I know you work, but you're working with health I gave you. You're working with favor I put on your life. You're working with advantages I gave you. I'm the one that did all that. I'm the one that keeps your mind from going crazy. I'm the one that gives you all those things. You're working with all of those things. And then I provide through that labor something called increase. Now, when you return my part, guess what happens? Your heart comes to me in my kingdom. Does that make sense? Then when I say, I want you to give this, and you give it, whether it's at LifeLink or somewhere else, that's fine. Your tithe always goes to the storehouse. Your giving goes wherever God tells you. When you do that, you're saying, God is leading my life because I'm always putting the fruit of what comes into my hand first his way. Does that make sense? Why? I'm acknowledging I don't own it. I'm aligning my life with you, your way, and your word. Now, guess what happens when our life is aligned with him, his way, and his word? When we're aligned, we're relationally connected. And when he comes in, he brings everything in with him. Does that make sense? So this is not a message about tithing. I'm simply using it as part of the measurement, how we're doing. We can literally see the functional proximity of God at work in our life and our time, how we steward that, manage that on his behalf, our talents, and the treasures of our life. Why is all that important? Because the whole message, you guys, is about aligning our lives with God so that He moves into who we are. And with Him comes things like love, joy, peace, patience. Does that make sense? The thing we're talking about today is faithfulness. Stop and think about it for a moment. Do you want your spouse to be faithful to you? Do you want to be faithful to your spouse? You're going to have to figure out something to do with that wonder. And the other voice is God's. So we're going to make a physical practice of aligning our lives with God, His word, and His way. Why? Because when I'm aligned, He comes in. And when He comes in, He brings with Him everything He is and changes who I am so that the gum of my life tastes really flavorful for a long time. Does that make sense? All right, so I'm really making a case, a big complicated case. Let me just simplify it. You need Jesus in the middle of who you are. And you need to obey your way into alignment. Why? So that there's more and more and more of God at work in you. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this great sermon. The series that we're in, talking about the benefits that come into our lives from living aligned with you. Today, God, we obey. We just decide we're gonna go your way as you direct. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person who is in this room today who needs to make a decision to follow you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please, no one moving around. This is a very tender kind of time in the worship journey. People are making decisions all around you, so please don't distract them. But I'm going to ask right now if you would answer this single question in your mind. Am I in relationship with Jesus like He said He wants me to be? Not like I think, but like He said He wants me to be. Or do I need to decide to turn and follow Him? No turning back. If you need to make that decision, if the results of your life don't reflect a close relationship with Jesus Christ, then today you need to decide to quit living for you and start living for Him. The biblical word for that turn is called repentance. It literally means I'm going to turn the direction of my heart from me and what I want to Him and His leadership in my life. If we do that, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, He wants you to know He paid the legal price for the redemption of your soul, which means you'll be born again in relationship with Him, and your life now and in eternity will be aligned with His great plan for your life. So today, if you're tired of pushing uphill against the chaos of life, if you're tired of the overwhelming guilt and condemnation, the fear and dread, and all the things that go with living a life of sin, which means doing your own thing and hoping God's okay with it, if that's you, you're one decision away from saying, God, I choose you. And I'm going to ask everyone to join me in a prayer in about 15 seconds. And if that's you, I'm going to ask that you would say this prayer out loud with everyone else and then let us know about it. All right, is that your decision today? And let's all pray out loud together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to pay the legal penalty of my sins and transgressions. I'm asking you to wash me, to cleanse me, and to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. Come into my heart, the middle of who I am, and lead me forward as my God and my Savior from this day forward, because I've decided to follow you, no turning back, in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Hey, can we just give those folks who said yes a big celebration? Come on, I know God is happy about that right now.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.